Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dev Accelerator Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Churchgate Partners. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much for setting this up, and good afternoon, everyone, for joining this earnings call. I hope you all had the chance to go through our investor presentation and the media releases that have been uploaded on the stock exchanges. We will share our key reporting, operating, and financial highlights for the quarter ended June 30th, 2026. I'll first start with this quarter's performance and then spend some time on the expansion that is taking place across DevEx. Following that, I'll also take you through some of the initiatives that we are building around our GCC platform, technology, and real estate, and then finally address our recent fundraise and capital structure. For quarter one FY27, our consolidated revenue was 53.8 crores. On a standalone basis, which largely represents our core workspace operations, the revenue increased by 7.8% on a year-on-year basis to rupees 42 crores from 38.9 crores in Q1 last year. One of the important developments during the quarter is the fact that revenue from Capital One, which is one of the larger assets that we have signed up, has become operational towards the end of FY26, and the numbers have started reflecting the revenue that has been generating from Capital One. As more of our signed capacity moves into operations, the revenue contributions from these centers will progressively become visible in our financial performance. Now, coming to our profitability, our consolidated EBITDA under Ind AS increased by 14.7% on a year-on-year basis to 30.3 crores, with EBITDA margin improving to 56.3% from 47.4% in Q1 FY26. At an IGAAP level, our consolidated EBITDA increased by 24% to 12.5 crores, with an EBITDA margin of 23.2% compared to 18.1% in the corresponding quarter last year. The consolidated profit before tax under IGAAP increased by 64.9% to rupees 7.1 crores, which earlier was 4.3 crores in the previous quarter. On a standalone basis, EBITDA under Ind AS was 27.7 crores, with a margin of 66%. At an IGAAP level, the standalone EBITDA increased by 9.8% to rupees 9.9 crores, while PBT increased by 59.1% to rupees 6.6 crores. As we have explained in our earlier interactions as well, we also look at the numbers of IGAAP just to understand the underlying economics of our workspace operations, as our rental outflows are treated as operating expenditure rather than being split between depreciation and finance costs under Ind AS. Let me now come to the operating side of the business, because this is where the action is, and this is where the scale-up is. The same things that we have referred during our last call, I just want to bring that up because we can see them becoming visible now. At the end of quarter one, our operational portfolio was 1.13 million sq ft compared to 0.86 million sq ft in quarter one last year. We now have 17,294 seats across 27 centers in 12 cities. Our occupied seats increased to 15,899 from 12,534 in quarter one FY26, and overall occupancy also improved to 91.93% from 88.6%. Another important development for us has been the increasing share of enterprise business. The enterprise clients contributed approximately 70% of our revenue from operations during our first quarter, compared to 52% in the corresponding quarter last year. One of the significant ratio to understand this industry is revenue to rent. The quarter that we finished, the performance in our revenue to rent ratio was 3.6x. Approximately 80% of our operational SPA today is in tier 2 cities, and these markets contributed approximately 74% of our standalone revenue during the quarter. So our tier 2 strategy, which we started with DevEx, continues to remain at the center of our business model. But I think one more important number to understand is the fact that 1.13 million square feet, which is operational. Beyond that, we also have secured future growth and we have signed up the capacity. So the operational number, although being 1.13 million square feet, there is an additional 0.19 million square feet which is under fit-out, and on top of that, a staggering 2.31 million square feet has been signed for future consumption. This takes our total identified portfolio to approximately 3.63 million square feet across 40 centers and operational seats being more than 52,000. So there is a significant amount of capacity that has already been identified beyond what is currently contributing to our existing revenue. Our core focus in the team is now on converting these signed capacity into operational centers in an extremely disciplined manner. Ahmedabad continues to be the best example of how we intend to build this scale. Capital One, with approximately 3.15 lakh square feet, became operational with 95% being pre-leased. We have already signed the pipeline with the developer for an approximately 8.6 lakh square feet under our development management project in Ahmedabad on the same stretch of Amli Bhopal Road. Once the building is ready and handed over to us, we will do investment into capital towards fit-outs, which would be roughly around 100 odd crores, following which our property operations would commence with approximately 8,500 seats, and it has a potential to generate revenue of roughly 120 odd crores. We now intend to take the learnings from this model and replicate them across selected micro markets in different cities across the country, where we understand the demand in and out, our client base, and also the real estate environment. The way we are looking at DevEx today is also different from simply being a workspace provider. There are strong tailwinds into this domain and sector. We definitely would want to capitalize on that and not limit ourselves to becoming a single delivery platform, but also become a core workspace solution provider for enterprises and GCC. Our design and build unit, which is Nettle and Thread, would fulfill the design and execution capability. And then our subsidiary, which is SaaSjoy, adds the technology solutions layer on top of it. So along with this, we also intend to develop on our existing capabilities of providing facility management, running payroll for our existing clients, talent sourcing, and providing other services to our GCC client base. The objective is to participate in a much larger part of the client's requirement and build long-term relationships across multiple services. Technology is becoming another important layer to reach the platform that we are planning for. We are building a technology-led real estate ecosystem through our AI infrastructure launchpad, where we would be inviting AI and PropTech innovators, that is startups, to develop solutions around operational efficiency, process automation, customer experience, and data-driven decision-making processes. For this, we are partnering with a very reputed and renowned Pan-India media organization, which will help us scout innovators and connect with a wider innovation network and identify solutions that can be deployed across our platform. Our investment in Easily Networks complements this initiative by giving us access to broker networks, real estate market intelligence, and demand insights. The idea is to connect technology, data, and our physical operating platform. With dedicated teams and resources being put behind these initiatives, our focus is on identifying solutions that can translate into measurable improvements in the way we source, operate, and scale our center. We have also initiated the process for building a tokenization platform outside India, wherein the law firms that are required to execute this have been onboarded. We have signed engagement letters with all of them, and the incorporation process of setting up an entity has already commenced by the investors who are looking to participate in the global capital that we are raising. Over the time, I believe that this access to newer pools of global capital can complement our existing funding channel and then also support our expansion in technology initiatives that we are looking to take up. At this stage, the process has already commenced, and we will keep all of you updated as it progresses further. Let me now address our capital structure, because there have been few developments after the end of our quarter, and I think it is important to explain all of them together. Subsequent to quarter one, DevEx raised 100 crores through senior listed secured redeemable and non-convertible debt, carrying a coupon of 11.75% per annum with a tenure of 36 months. The financing comes with normal security arrangements and covenants associated with such instruments. I wanted to bring one clarity into this transaction. As part of this financing arrangement, roughly 1.85 crore shares, which is representing 19.65% of the company's equity, has been encumbered. The promoter shareholding has not been pledged. Neither the promoter shareholding has reduced because of this transaction. The promoter holding is subject to certain covenants, including a maintaining of minimum promoter shareholding of 19.65%. Against this requirement, the current promoter shareholding is 36.81%, which is significantly above the prescribed minimum requirement. In fact, recently promoters have also infused capital through preferential warrants. The stock exchanges have provided in principle approval for 33,33,330 equity shares to be issued upon conversion of this warrant, subject to applicable requirements. Upon conversion, promoter shareholding is expected to increase from the current 36.81% to approximately 37.29%. So the important point for shareholders is that promoter holding is not reduced due to debt raising, and upon conversion of the warrants, it is expected to increase further. On leverage, there is also an accounting aspect that investors should keep in mind while looking at our balance sheet. Under Ind AS, accounting rules requiring us to recognize the full future rental of our lease years as a liability today. Therefore, every time we sign a new center, our reported liabilities go up. It is important to note that this is not a borrowed money. There is no bank, no loan, and no repayment schedule attached to it. It simply represents the rent that we will be required to pay each month out of the revenue that we will be generating from our operation. When assessing our leverage, we would encourage all our investors to look at our borrowings, which we report separately. At the end of quarter 1, FY27, our gross debt was 135 crores compared to 145 crores at the end of FY26. With cash and cash equivalents of rupees 54 crores, our net debt was 81 crores compared to 89 crores at the end of FY26. Our net debt to equity improved to 0.4x from 0.48x, while net debt to EBITDA on an IGAAP basis was 1.04x compared to 2.10x at the end of FY26. The 100 crores NCD that we raised will get reflected from quarter 2 onwards. At the same time, we have repaid approximately 55 crores of existing debt. Therefore, while reported borrowings will reflect the new fundraise, it is equally important to look at the repayment of existing debt and the accounting impact of lease liabilities while assessing the overall leverage of the business. Coming back to the business, the capital that we have raised is ultimately linked to the expansion opportunity that we see ahead of us. Our approach is to use appropriate structure for each asset, whether that is trade lease model, landlord-funded center, or development management arrangements. The objective is to scale without compromising the unit economics of individual centers. Our development management model remains particularly relevant for certain micro markets when we have strong conviction of fulfilling the demand. It allows landowners to retain ownership while DevEx bringing in execution capabilities, institutional specifications, and strong client relationships. For DevEx, it provides an opportunity to create grade A-plus supply without acquiring the underlying land. We currently have approximately 1.4 million square feet planned under this model, spread across Ahmedabad and Jaipur, and we intend to selectively replicate it across different micro markets in different cities where institutional office supply remains limited. So when I look at quarter 1 FY27, I would not look at the quarter only through 53.8 crores of consolidated revenue that we have reported. I would look at it what is being built behind those numbers. We have 1.13 million square feet operational today, approximately 2.38 million square feet of signed pipeline, more than 52,000 seats across total identified portfolio, occupancy of over 91%, enterprise contribution of 70%, and multiple funding and operating structures available to convert this pipeline into revenue. FY26 was about demonstrating that our Tier 2 strategy can work at scale, and now FY27 is about executing the signed assets and expanding into multiple different territories. Our priority is to bring the signed portfolio into operation, increase the revenue base, deepen our relationship with enterprise and GCC clients, and build additional capabilities around technology, design and services that can increase our participation across the client lifecycle. We believe the opportunity in front of DevEx is much larger than the capacity that is operational today. At the same time, our focus will remain on disciplined expansion, center-level economics, and building a business that can scale across multiple Tier 2 markets. With that, I conclude the business update for the quarter. Would be extremely happy to answer the questions that you have along with my team.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Shubham Padhyar with Chhattisgarh Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So I was just going through our FY26 numbers, and I believe there was a center in Noida that closed, and that Noida center was having some capacity of 1,500 seats, if I'm not wrong, and after closing it went down to 750, right?
Right. So, I'll give on the Noida center.
Yes. So my question is, if I see our city-wise revenue, despite of closing that Noida center, our revenue from Noida stood, I mean, it increased from 9.14 CR to 9.77 CR. But our revenues from Mumbai center decreased from 14 CR to 11 CR. So what was the reason of the dip of 3 CR from Mumbai?
Sir, I just wanted to know, Parin this side, I just wanted to know from your side, like, how you, like, from which segment you are deriving these numbers so I can able to reconnect those numbers.
So for FY25, I've used DRHP numbers. And for the quarterly numbers and FY26 number, I've just used your presentations.
Mm-hmm. So, Ina, while you're referring about the branch number, So that is why I'm asking, like, in a presentation, there is no any branch specific numbers. So, if you can just-
I'm talking about city-wise revenue, so I'm not talking about any particular branch.
Okay. So, yeah, you rightly mentioned about the Noida center. That revenue contribution till the December, we have received from the Noida, and the centers got wind up and then closed because of the litigation that happened, and we closed it down the Noida center. So that, because of revenue is not contributing further this quarter, so that dip we observe from that center, because of, like, Noida is one of the, like, the centers what we are receiving the almost 3.5 to 3.7 crore revenue monthly from that center. That revenue is not there with this particular financial, this particular quarter.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this quarter. I'm talking about FY 26 versus FY 25. So in FY 25, how much did you earn from Noida?
Total monthly revenue from Noida we are receiving from the FY 23. Monthly revenue is 3.2, 3.5, 3.7 crore revenue.
Then there's something wrong with the numbers that you have reported, right? Because I think in FY 26, from Noida, you've earned 9 crore for the whole year. I think we can take this question offline if you don't have numbers in handy.
Just to pull up, no, just give us a second. Let me pull up the entire Noida cash.
Yeah.
Just give me a second. Let me pull up the exact number, okay, from the NIS.
Sorry?
Let me pull up the exact numbers that we have exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
From the NIS.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give me a second.
Yeah, sure.
So reported numbers in FY 26 for the entire... So in Noida, we have, technically, we have three centers. It's not 9 crore as a revenue, that's around 12 crore as a revenue. 11.5 crore is the operational revenue that we generate in Noida.
11.5 crores.
Correct.
11.5, you said, right?
Yeah, 11.45 crore is the precise revenue that we generate from managed office space revenue in Noida. This is Noida as a city. In Noida, we have three different centers that we have across three different micro markets. This number that I'm referring to is the number that we used to generate before closing down the center.
So this is before you close the center?
This is before we close the center, correct.
And what would be the number after that?
Just a second. Yeah, just a second.
Yeah, because in DRHP, I can see Noida. So you've given location-wise breakdown, right? So Noida, number of centers are three, and in FY 25, you earned 9.14 crores from Noida center, and it has number of centers mentioned as three.
Correct, which is true. So that is your reference to FY 25. I'm referring to 26.
Yeah, but in FY 26, one of your center got closed, right? So,
That's towards the very end of the year. The full year was operational.
Okay.
During the year, the remaining two centers occupancy also increased, pricing got expansion. So those centers also started contributing more. Now, today, while we speak, there's a dip of 4.5 crores from the center that has been closed.
Got it. Oh, see. Okay. And then the next question is, so, you know, I'm clear on that. So my next question is on Capital One. So, Capital One, we had 95% pre-committed occupancy, right?
Correct.
and we were expecting a revenue of 3 crore monthly from that asset.
2.75 to 3 crore.
Correct. So if I do the math, so per square foot revenue is coming at around 1,050 per year, right?
1,050 per year?
Yeah, so our square foot built up area is around 3,15,000, right?
Correct.
And if I take 2.75 times 12,
that's 33 crore. You're referring to annually? 2.75.
Yeah, annually, right?
Correct. So 1,054 is the number that you're referring to?
Yes. So if I see our in general, our current Ahmedabad portfolio is earning around 2,500 revenue per square foot, right? I'm talking about annual revenues.
So that's 208 rupees, sir.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
Okay.
Hello.
I can hear you, sir. Are you referring to a number of 2,500 rupees per square foot annually? So,
yes.
Per square foot per month is 208 rupees.
Yeah. So, my question is less than 50% of what we are earning currently in our Ahmedabad portfolio, right? Despite having 95% pre-committed occupancy. So, what's the...
I don't think so. 2,500 rupees, the difference 10 rupees of revenue in Ahmedabad is not feasible to achieve. Our revenues in Ahmedabad are in the lines of 100 to 125 rupees per square feet per month. Multiply that by 12. That is the typical average number that we achieve in Ahmedabad. We have the highest portfolio in Ahmedabad today while we speak. So I'm not sure where did you get that number of 2,500 rupees. This 1,044 that you are referring to boils down to 87 rupees per square foot per month in Ahmedabad. So the first year that we are operating right now has certain rent-free periods and fit-out periods. So when we see that rent has been pre-leased, from that day when we start the fit-outs, typically it takes 3 to 4 months of time frame for clients to come in and start paying the rental. And that is when the actual numbers start hitting in the books. So let's say if I close one client April, my revenue for that client would start in July or August. So in a year, if you count that, the number would be lesser because like out of 12 months, you deduct 3 or 4 months. So practically we are left off with 8 to 9 months of actual rental realization. So then the average would come down lesser. But a full operational year when the client is paying the revenue, those numbers are anywhere in the range of 110 to 125 rupees per square foot per month.
So the number that I was referring to was in FY26 you earned around 78 crores from Ahmedabad, right? In revenue.
I'll have to get that number, sir. Probably we have a detailed email conversation where you can shoot me the email, ask me questions, and probably I can send that across to you. Because I'll have to go back and fetch all this data that you're asking for.
Okay, no worries. And one more question before I join the queue. What is the percentage revenue from rental versus one time?
What is the percentage revenue from rental?
Rental revenue and one-time revenue. So recurring and one-time revenue.
So one-time revenue is a needle and thread business. So in the last year, we closed 57 crores of one-time revenue, which is a needle and thread. And the remaining was coming in from the flex or the managed office space business.
Standalone business is entirely recurring revenue business, right?
Correct. So out of 53.8, 42 crores is the managed office space business, and the remaining is the operational revenue from the real estate. which is one time in nature.
Got it, got it. And just one more question, what is the total amount of capex that you have spent till date to have 1.13 million square feet of portfolio?
I can pull up the exact data, but roughly if I can tell you right away, that 1.13 million square feet, that's almost 12 lakh square feet of area, wherein 75% of our space take up is built in by us. So that's roughly around 9 lakh square feet, multiplied by 1300 rupees per square feet.
Right?
1300, right? Yeah.
Got it.
118 odd crores of investment in the fit-outs. Of probably the assets that we have. Now, this would be all fresh investment. There would be obviously assets which would have turned older when we would have reinvested some more capital in that. And future deposits that we have paid for, like, as I covered earlier, there's almost 2.3 million square feet of assets that we are signing up for the future take-up. For doing that, we would have paid additional deposits and paid some capital for them to kind of do the refurbishment. That would be on top of it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
I'm happy to answer the previous question that you had, sir. If you can send me an email, we'll be happy to address that in detail.
Yeah, I'll send you emails.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Mukul Bhushan with the Raru Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, pretty much.
So your presentation shows that the debt to equity at 0.78x and your ROC at 14%. But that appears to exclude the 226 crore of lease liability from 5 to 9 years of fixed contract. On a lease inclusive basis, debt to equity is about 2 times and ROC is about 9%. Since these are like real fixed commitments, so would you disclose both version each quarter?
I just give you the context about the ROC and ROE. In our business, what happens whenever we have a sufficient capital to deploy for the capex and expansion for the new centers, but new centers will take a time. I'm just giving you the understanding about giving you the example. If I'm opening a new center, that's the centers I find out in the market and then search it for the centers and then do the furniture for the clients. So that will take us 75 to 90 days to take a handing over to the space owner. That's the same thing if I give you the client and then client pay me on a rent, pay me rental on a monthly rental on a time. So approximately on the journey and the history wise, one center will take almost 6 to 9 months to operate and reach at a mature level. So you see that if I invested 1 rupees in a business or 1 rupees in a capex, that give me or maybe that reflection in the revenue and that reflection in the metrics like ROC and ROE will maybe possible in the same financial year or maybe might possible that it will therefore or maybe give a result or give a reflection in my revenue in the next quarter or maybe next financial year. So that happens like because of my ROC is 40% and ROE is 7%. We recently go in IPO, so sufficient amount of IPO funds is still with us. So that funds we are in a process to deploy in the finding a new opportunity and already some property are under construction. So that property will get a handover and then we'll deploy the funds in the center. That center will give us a sufficient amount of revenue so we can have a good amount of good percentage of ROC in the future. So you can have a same reflection in the coming quarter where we are improving our ROC and ROE both.
Okay. And one more question. I see full year standalone margin improved, like, to 60.5%, which is why, what you highlighted. But quarter four alone is 59.2% versus 64% last year. So that's about down 5 percentage points. So, like, can you explain what drove that quarter-on-quarter drop and the FY27 model? Like, should I use 60.5% or, like, 59.2%?
Yeah. So, in the similar line, like you rightly observe about that, our EBITDA margin for our standalone business is increased from 66%. That is because of operational leverage, and we reduce some sort of cost in the system. But again, like, it is not a drop on a margin side, but because of some of the expenses, like, you know, one time in the nature. So that, because of the drivers for falling down the percentage and margin. But I will make sure that we are in a process to improving our operation at very robust levels, where improving our margin. And you also see that the industry peers are at a EBITDA level is 60%-65%, where we are at a reach at a standalone 66%. This is one of the drivers where we are falling on a consolidated basis for a 59% of EBITDA. But you see that because of one of our subsidiary is in Netherlands, right, where we are booking a revenue as per Ind AS on a project completion or milestone base. So that revenue and that percent is not 100% or fully come on the revenue side on the P&L. So that is why you see that the consolidated level, my EBITDA is falling down for some percentage.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephones. Our next question comes from the line of Shubham Padhiyar with the Chhattisgarh Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks again. So in your RHP, you had mentioned that we have a subsidiary by the name of Skelex Advisory Limited.
Yeah.
We have some sort of non-compete agreement when it comes to GCC business.
Yes.
Can you just explain me what's that agreement and how does it restrict us, or how does it restrict them to, you know, do business concerned with GCCs?
Sure. So Skelex Advisory is the name of the entity. That's a joint venture between DevEx. Then there's a reputed developer in GIFT City and Ahmedabad called SAIRI, and a very old FP&A firm, which is chartered accounting firm, Talati & Talati. So largely, when a GCC enters India, they are looking for a full-fledged solution under a single roof. They are looking for a partner who can help them enter in India, help them with the compliance strategy in the country, help them with the transfer pricing approach, and all the legal and the compliance hurdles that are required to set up an entity in India. That is where Talati & Talati kind of comes up with an expertise. Then second is the need for real estate, and that is where SAIRI comes into picture. And the third need is with the two management of the infrastructure process. And then management of infrastructure comes up with add-on responsibilities of running the payroll, managing the recruitment, running the IT infrastructure. These are, you know, some needs which are kind of created. Now, when I say DevEx, it includes DevEx as well as Dev Information Technology Limited, which is a daughter of DevEx, right? Wherein they would be fulfilling the need of IT network, setting up their cloud solution, and managing their NOC centers. Now, this is a need when a GCC enters India. Earlier, what we used to do, provide them this solution, but it was being offered in a standalone basis. Like, I would offer them managed office space spectrum, SEBI would offer them real estate, Talati and Talati would offer them accounting solution. Instead of that, we formed this entity. Then the objective was to put the client under this umbrella and offer them a full spectrum solution under the same entity. And this is created largely from a GIFT City perspective and the requirement that it would come. So there's no one who would enter in the competing situation of managed office space of DevX. If there's a requirement of only managed office spaces coming in from a lead or a client, it would be redirected to DevX only.
Got it. And how much do we own in this deal?
Sorry, how much have we invested?
Sorry. How much do we own? What's the percentage ownership?
That's roughly 12% in the entity.
Okay, and is that entity operational or is it yet to start its operation?
No. So we just onboarded a senior leader in that and the operations would start beginning now. The GTM strategy has just been formed, so the operational activities would start now. But as I said, this is predominantly for capturing the market within GIFT City.
Understood.
And only for GCC, yeah.
Okay. So their development area is just a separate to GIFT City.
Sorry, I lost you a little bit.
So their geographical area is restricted to GIFT.
Yes. That is the objective because SEBI has a very strong presence of real estate within GIFT City. It gives us a certain advantage when global companies are looking to enter and set up in GIFT City.
Yeah, I mean,
if the question was to understand, would they enter the business of DevX? So, no, that's not the core fundamental of setting up this entity.
Okay, so we can still do GCC business, right? Under the
Absolutely. We still are. I mean, currently we are doing GCC business. We have a couple of clients who are also paying us for managing the payroll. So if you see our revenue heads, there's a payroll and facility management head as well, which is largely coming in from those clients which are looking for GCC solution. In fact, while we are speaking to a couple of clients who are looking for solutions in Bangalore and in Hyderabad for full spectrum GCC solution providers.
Understood. Yeah, thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As we have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining the call. I hope I was able to justify the questions and able to rightly respond to the questions that were asked. For any further information, I think we had a couple of questions wherein we would be required to fetch in the data. I would appreciate if you can reach out to our email address of investor relations team, and we would be happy to address those questions. So look forward to kind of connect with you again in the next quarter. Till then, kind of stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you once again, all of you, for joining with us.
Thank you. On behalf of Dev Accelerator Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.